Today's workshop is Successful Parenting Through the Turbulent Adolescent Years. Speaker is Mrs. Shelley Lam. Mrs. Lam is a very experienced Christian education worker. She provides extensive training for Sunday school teachers. She has successfully parented two adult children. Today's workshop is Successful Parenting Through the Turbulent Adolescent Years. Speaker is Mrs. Shelley Lam. Mrs. Lam is a very experienced Christian education worker. She provides extensive training for Sunday school teachers. She has successfully parented two adult children.
How many of you have more than one? Okay. How many of them are in this grade 8 to 10 period? Well, okay. That is quite a bit. Okay. How are you today? I see some frowning, some almost cry with a smile, but I understand. That's all I can say. I understand what you're going through. And it is what the topic is about. It's turbulent. It's a period of time where it is not very ideal and not very up to what we expect. They are growing up. And so today we're going to be in discussion. And so what I like to do when I do as a workshop, I like to hear from you too. So at any time, if you have any question, like you can write it down or you can raise your hand and we can continue to discuss it. Or you might want to wait till later on after the concluding remarks and then we'll all come together for the Q&A. Okay? Great. All right. Can you hear me well at the back? Okay. I have a cold as well. My husband was sick last week, and I'm getting sick this week. And so yesterday, I started to really cough, and today I'm losing my voice. I probably would have to take a sip from time to time. So excuse me for taking a sip. All right, thank you. All right, so with all that, I'd like to bring you to the topic today. We are going to be covering, you have an outline with you, we're going to be covering Christian foundations of parenting. That would be covering understanding of God, understanding of self, and understanding of your adolescent child. And then we're going to go into expectations of your child, of yourself, and of God. And then that will be the end. Then we will have our Q&A after that. Okay? So, let's get going. How old are you? You are here so that you know, you would want to know how to deal with your parents?
I came here because my parents forced me here.
Oh, and what is the reason?
They thought that this is supposed to be a teen thing.
Okay.
Then instead, when I came in, it's parenting.
Okay.
So when I told them, they didn't believe me, and now
you're stuck.
Yes.
Well, I welcome you. And I'm very glad that we have an adolescent representative.
The one
here. How old are you?
11.
11, great. Another one there.
Because no one to look
up. Oh, how old is she?
She's 9.
She's 9. Good. You know what? It is very good that they are here 9, 11, and 15. There's another one over there. I see you. How old are you? 8. That's a little early, eh? But it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. If you don't understand, you can ask questions. All right? You'll be so prepared that you won't be a problem to your mom later. I hope so. Okay. All right. Let's get going. And I just want to warn you, I may ask you to say something, to give your opinion. Okay, so we can have the other side of the coin too, so that you would have it out of their mouth, not from me, from them, right? Okay? Prepare to speak if I call on you. All right. Adolescent. Adolescence is a term that is so ambiguous. How old is adolescence? And what is the coverage? What is the span of years? 5 years? 15 years? 20 years? What? What do you think? Anyone? Adolescence would be from what age to what age?
It depends.
It depends. Okay. Why would you say it depends? Okay. All right. Okay. And it can span from like 5 years or 15 years? Maybe 15 years. Okay. All right. And so adolescence starts like at 11, right? Or 10. Some people, some are starting 10. And it's actually, for girls, it would be, and boys, usually the mark of that period would be puberty. So when puberty starts in, kicks in, you know that they are getting into that period of what you call adolescence. Now, adolescence can, we used to say, adolescence is only from maybe 12 to 19, not over. Maybe when you say you're 20, you are an adult. Nobody is going to call you a young person anymore. That was my time. Okay. Now, as we study the society and all the people, the young people nowadays, this period of time has extended. And it sometimes goes to like late 20s, or maybe even farther. You know why? Because they act like a teenager. They never grow up. So they were still stuck as a teenager, like a 19-year-old, or even 18-year-old, even if they're married. Some people would be, oh, but I'm married, I'm an adult. Oh yeah, but you still act like a 17. So, what is adolescence? It's like a state of mind, or the way you behave, the way you live your life, and that tells you, who you are. Okay, so but today we are not going to go that far. Because of this span, we are just going to concentrate on the grade 8, 9, and 10. How old are they? You're in grade 10. Okay. So, grade 10, you are 15. All right. So, grade 9 will be 14. Grade 8 would be 13. So, tonight we'll just be talking about these people. Good? Okay. So, with that all settled, I want to bring to mind that in parenting, these people, we as parents, would like to be on the same. Okay, I'm assuming that everybody is a Christian, okay, but I should not. Okay, how many of you are not Christian? Are you all Christian? Yes? All right, okay, that's even easier. Christian parents, first of all, I would assume that you know God, right? How much do you know about your God? Who is your God? And that brings us into our Christian foundation of parenting. As we parent, as a Christian, we need to have some kind of a foundation in ourselves to know where we are coming from. We are coming from the point of view of a Christian parent, right? So, if I ask you, how would you describe your God? Okay, start thinking. You have to think of just one word to describe your God. Just one word. Okay? One word. Let's see. Who is your God? Attributes. Yes. God is.
Love.
My God is what?
Love.
God is love.
Forgiving.
That's okay. Just okay. I cannot write so fast. Okay. Our God is love.
Forgiving.
Creator. Is that what you mean? Okay.
Patience.
Attributes. Talk about attributes.
Mercy.
God is
holy.
Okay.
Merciful.
God is great. What else? God is truth. Okay, good.
Faithful.
God is
faithful.
Faithful. Somebody say faithful here? God is a wonderful counselor.
Righteous.
God is righteous. Okay, righteousness. Okay. God is
discipline.
He disciplines,
but okay, who is he? God is. So he disciplines us, right? Okay, good. Anyone else? Okay, now I'm going to bring that in with what I'm going to say about God. Actually, God is more than what we think he is. There are two kinds of attributes that I like to bring out today about God. Okay, there is this incommunicable attributes, something that cannot be communicated to us, that cannot be given to us. Those are the attributes that God has all by his own, and there are some of the attributes that we have, some of them are called communicable attributes. Okay. Now, for the incommunicable attributes, I would like to bring out one point, is that he is self-existent. He doesn't have to a creator. He exists by himself. Now, he does not depend on anything outside him to come into being. So that is his first incommunicable attribute. The second one is immutability. He is always the same. Okay. Now, and that is what I was going to say. He is forever the same in his divine being and perfection, and always, and also in his purposes and promise. He cannot change. The third attribute is infinity. Infinity. He is not subject to any limitations. He is eternal. He is not limited by time or space. Therefore, he can be an eternal God. He is there since Adam, and he is there until here, now. How many years? Many, 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 many thousand years in between. So he is always there. And then, in regard to space, he can be anywhere at the same time. He can be here, he can be there, he can be in China, he can be in Russia, all at the same time, because he's infinite, the infinity of God. So he can fill in any space, and he can be there. Now, remember all this, because these are very important attributes of God, that your God, that you need to know about. And then the fourth one is he has that attribute of simplicity. Simplicity, meaning to say, he is not made up of two parts or three parts or five parts or a thousand parts. He is just one. And he cannot be divided. Men are made up of body and a spirit. So we can be divided, right? The body and the spirit can be divided, can be separated. When do we get separated? When we die. Smart. See, he can even think about that far. When we die, the spirit is there, but then the body is somewhere else. So the spirit is eternal. The body is not eternal. Now, why is that? It's because he is our creator, and when he created us, he had breathed in his spirit. And we have his spirit. Okay? So that is why we are just parts, but God is one whole. He is a simple one, okay? For that very reason, he cannot be separated. Now, coming to the communicable attributes, such as these. Now, we have God is the knowledge of God. God is all-knowing knowledge. God is all-knowing, so he is one word called omniscient. Okay. So he knows all things, past, present, and future. And then there is this wisdom of God. Did somebody say wisdom? Okay. These are some of the attributes he has given to us. although just limited. He has a more, he gives us love, but the love we have compared to his is like, the ratio is like 1 to 1,000,000 or whatever. Like just a little part of him. Forgiving, knowing, wisdom, grace, all that. He is good, the goodness of God. God is good. Are you good? Are you a good boy?
Not always.
Not always. We'll have to think about what are those not good things you do. Okay, but you don't have to say it. Okay? Just think about it. Okay? Now, the righteousness we talk, the truth, and God is, another attribute of God is sovereign. God is sovereign. What is sovereign? What does sovereign mean? God is sovereign. What do you know about sovereignty of God? Anyone? Come on.
He can do anything he wants. That's what sovereign is, right?
Everything is under his control. And he can make things happen. That is, God is sovereign. Okay, now, with all that, I'd like you to keep that in mind as we go on this. What is his relationship with man, with us? What is God's relationship with us? Tell me about how he is related to you.
Our
Heavenly Father. Okay. What else? He is our Creator. Great. We are the creatures. What he creates. What else?
Master.
Okay. So our relationship with man, he likes to relate to us. How? He likes to communicate with us. He likes to, when he created us, he likes to have fellowship with us. That was his intention. At the very, very beginning. He delights in that. And he places man in charge of every living creature here on earth. Okay, think about all the living creatures. What are the living creatures here on earth?
Us and
what?
Other animals.
Animals. Anything that moves around? Right? On the ground, in the air, under the water? Yeah. Okay. So those are what we were being charged with. He says that you would be in charge of all that. What else? What is his relationship with us? He has told man to fill the earth, procreate, right? And subdue it. Subdue it, meaning to say, what? What is subdue? You don't know.
To rule over it.
To be responsible for it. To control it. Okay. Now you know where you stand now? Do you know where God stands now? Okay. So this is our God and his relationship with us. Supposedly. Before the fall of man, we are to be in charge of all that. Now, let's go on to understanding ourselves. Who are you? That's easy, isn't it? Okay, who are you? The first thing that defines you is probably your age, right? What's your name?
Justice.
Justice. Or Justice. U.S.? I am.
U.S.
Justice. Okay. So, whether you are 15, or you are 20, or you are 30, or you are 40, or you are 60, or you are 50, whatever your age is, you can say, I am that age, right? Understanding of yourself. Now, how much do you understand yourself? Can somebody just introduce yourself to me then? For an example? Anne, can you start?
Okay, I can introduce myself. I have a name.
Yes, you have a name.
Okay. I have a family. Mm-hmm. I came from a family of five siblings, so four including myself. And now I'm a grandmother as well, with one granddaughter, and we have three sons. Okay, so that's me.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? You want to say something about yourself? You? Yes.
I have a name too.
You don't have to.
My name is.
You don't have to follow the pattern. You can do something else.
My name is Esther.
Esther? Yes.
I have two children.
Mm-hmm.
One is
12,
one is 11.
Whoa, close. Yes.
I work part time. I'm a Christian.
Good. Okay. So I get from these two samples, I get to get to know them about their family, their where they're from. But I didn't get the age, right? But anyway, anyhow, I would suppose, okay, now I put you all in the age mode. I would suppose that you would know what a 20-year-old is like. Would you?
No.
No, too far. How about 30? How about 40? Would you know what a 40-year-old is like? Not Justice, of course. How about your mom?
My mom.
Your dad.
My dad and mom is like just above 40.
There you go. So you would know what they are like, right?
Almost.
Okay. All right. So why don't we? Because I'm just trying to think. If you get married, as a parent, if you get married early, let's say 20, and you have an adolescent child of 11 or 12 right now, or 13, how old will you be? 33, right? But when I say 30, there's no response. So I don't think any of you were married that young. Okay. So let's say, how about if you're married 30, let's say it's about the average age now for people to get married, 30, and you have 13 years for your first, if you, that assuming you have a child right away, then you'll be 43. Okay.
So that would be, that would put you in this bracket of parents of adolescent children 13 to 15. So you would be around, let's say, the earliest, I would say 35 maybe, okay, and on. So what are you like? Let's say, do you feel like physically what you are like? Okay, you have to think now. I'm going to give you another chance of doing it by one word. Describe yourself with one word. Okay? All right? No, don't say anything yet. Okay, until you see what I'm writing here. Describe yourself physically. Intellectually? Okay? Emotionally? Socially? And spiritually? Okay. One word. Just one word. How would you describe yourself without giving any details, just a description of yourself physically?
Weak.
Okay. Okay. What else? Oh, maybe we should say health-wise, how do you feel? Maybe declining.
Okay.
That's a better word. Deteriorating. Oh my. Okay. What else? Exhausting? Tired? Okay. Anybody else? One more.
Slow.
Yeah, it's getting behind again. Okay. Okay. All right. How about intellectually? Describe yourself intellectually. One word. One word. Okay. Already? I thought that would have to come at 60.
Experience?
Yeah.
Wiser.
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 Yeah. Wiser.
Intellectually.
Oh.
Intellectually. A lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
You have. and you put those knowledge to work, you're all earning that money, right? With your knowledge. So intellectually, you're not slow. You're not forgetful. You still have a job.
Sophisticated.
Okay. And, but sophistication, you cannot sort of picture it in your mind what that brain is sophisticated. I will give you a word, productive. Productive, intellectually. I see that now you can understand who you are. You're quite productive. You know a lot, and you put it to so that it's produced and it's being put to good use of your knowledge. You earn a living. You do things. You're smarter than your kids. What do you think about that? Oh, intellectually. I have my, you know, Ed just introduced me that about my academic achievement. I had my master's before I had my children. So I'm a lot far ahead. When they were still in kindergarten, I already probably I could have gone to get my PhD, right? So don't look down on your parents. They're smart. Okay? They are smarter when they are far ahead. Okay. Now emotionally. Okay, talking about your emotions. Okay. How are you emotionally?
Stable?
Emotional?
No.
Okay, emotionally.
You're in control.
Control.
Yeah, not like teens.
Self control.
Yeah,
are you sure? How are your parents emotionally? Are they self-controlled? Are they stable? Or what?
Unstable.
Or are they something else?
In between.
Oh, do you know why?
No.
Okay, you will start to know why. Understand. Okay, what else would you say you're emotionally? Where are you? Emotionally.
Anxious.
Okay. Worry?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Anything else?
A B.
Who would say?
A B. You know, at 35, this is where you're already more excited. I don't think at 35 people are fully stable. They become stable maybe after 50, something like that.
Okay, so what is the word that you want to say?
Upbeat.
Upbeat.
Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat.
Upbeat.
Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat.
Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat.
Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat.
Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat. Upbeat.
Upbeat. Upbeat.
Yeah.
You and your prime.
Prime, yeah. So emotionally, how would you describe it? But, you know, not everybody is the same. depressed. There you go. Worried, anxious, and some people are depressed. That is what unstable is about. Stable, but mostly, I would say, in general, it's the more stable stage of your life. You know. Okay, socially. How are you socially? Sorry?
Active.
Active? Okay. What else? Socially? CK. You have your circle of friends?
I agree. Well, I don't know. Sometimes you go to this side of the family, sometimes you go to the other side, because sometimes you want to be alone.
Okay. Socially, so you are not sure what that word is?
I want to have some time for myself.
Okay.
Not too much socially.
That's too
active.
So what would you say that word is?
Solitary.
Solitary?
Solitude
or solitary? Solitary.
Basically, just alone.
Okay. Yes. What else? Another word? Socially. Do you still make new friends or still think that you don't have enough friends? You have to gather more? Or you sort of kind of satisfied with your circle of friends?
More friends.
Huh?
More.
You still need more.
Yeah. Why not?
She feels like you, right? We'll come to you later. Okay. You don't really care. Okay. I would think at this point, you have quite an established circle of friends, or family, or community that you deal with socially, right? I would say, yes, established. Whether you want to be with them or not, maybe sometimes you want to be alone, fine. But if you want to be with somebody, you go with that group of friends. If you don't want to, or you, there's other needs, you go with the other needs. Now, spiritually, how can we describe you spiritually?
More mature.
Who was that? Who said that?
More mature?
Yes. What else? Any more?
Growing.
Growing? Anybody else? Where are you spiritually? Are you still seeking something, or are you there and growing, and oh, you are already matured? Okay, let's just stop over there. And this is who you are as a parent. Keep that in mind as to who you are in all these five areas of you. You are not only a number, which is defined by age, or social standing, or your physique, big or small, or tall or short. You are not defined only by that. You are not defined only by your mental capacity, or whether you are stable or unstable, or you're friendly or not, or you love God or not. It is all five aspects of you that defines you. All right? So this is you. You know who you are. Now, in relation to with God, in your relationship with God, at this point, I see two words, mature and growing. And that is exactly what it is. You have established a relationship with God, and you want to continue to grow in the knowledge of God. That should be continuing. All right, let's move on to understanding your child. Now, your child is something like Justin, okay? 13 to 15, and he is 15, okay? So who are they? Who are these people? Justin, you have to help me. Okay. Now, physically, what's happening to you physically?
Growing.
You are growing, right? There's a lot of changes, right? You're growing. Which way?
Both ways.
Both ways. You're growing taller.
I'm already reflective.
How do you know? Do you stop at 15?
No.
Do they stop growing at 15?
No.
No. Good news. You can still grow higher.
I don't want to.
You don't want to. How tall are you? Can you stand up?
Whoa!
No wonder.
How tall is that?
6'3", 6'4". Whoa. Okay. Thank you. No wonder you said not anymore. Okay. One word. How is your
changing? The changing.
Changing. Okay. Sorry, I have come back to you. Okay. What else?
Energetic.
Energetic. Another word? Anyone? How do you feel? You're not there yet, but physically. How are you? Active. Okay. Good. Now, you really grow fast. How much time did it take you to reach 6'3"? From what, 5?
It took me, I started growing, I think, when I was like 12.
Okay, like 3 years ago?
Yes. After a month, before a month, my classmates see me like short, like
okay.
About your size. And then from summer break, they told me that you grew like two heads up.
So that is within like 6 months? A year?
2 months.
2 months?
Wow.
To a year. That's how fast. It's a rapid growing. So, okay. Does that worry you?
Worries me by
growing so fast? Like you are now, you can see above everybody's head, right? Is that good?
There's good and bad.
There's good and bad. More good or more bad?
To me, more bad.
Oh? What do you think? Is it good to be tall?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, depends.
Depends if I can't even walk inside my house.
Okay.
My doors are too
door frames are too low.
My ceilings are too low as well.
The ceilings are low. Okay. Well, but look on the bright side.
Yeah.
You don't have to ask for help. You can reach anything. You can even reach the ceiling without trying. Right? Yeah. So be happy about it. Okay? You should be glad that you're tall. And you can see everybody. can see all the short people there, including me. Okay? So, that is what is happening for our team. Rapid growing, really fast. You probably need to watch their growth. It's a growth spurt, and it's fast. How about intellectually? One word to describe them intellectually. Okay, try another word.
Quickness.
One word.
Smart.
Smart? Did somebody say smart? Smart in what way?
Street smart.
Street smart, okay. What else? Another word? Why would you say they are smart?
I would say they are all knowing.
All knowing. Intellectually, they know a lot.
I know everything.
So I said one word, so I would put a hyphen here.
Okay.
They think they know everything.
Fast learning.
It's two words, but I have to. I appreciate your thinking about it. Yeah. What else? Try one word.
Childish.
Intellectually?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean? They don't learn? They don't get new information, new knowledge? Now before they are more concrete thinking, now they are more abstract. They can think more abstractly. Okay? All right. Next, emotionally. What are they? Like unstable. that's where it comes in. What else? Emotionally, what are they?
Okay.
I have one word.
Confused.
Sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes they're confused.
Sensitive.
I have one word for you. Fluctuation. Yeah. I can't remember how it spelled. So it's changing. Sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're sad. They have moods.
Moody.
Yeah. Is this quite accurate? You see, I'm trying to verify it. It's not just us talking. You need to verify it. Is this true? Sometimes you just fluctuate, and you can be happy one second, and then the next second you can be really sad. Right? And you can be so moody too, right? Are you confused sometimes? Are you sensitive sometimes? Yeah? If you don't agree, say, I don't agree with that.
Well, sensitive, do you mean by crying?
Not really. easily get hurt?
No, obviously not.
Not.
How about your friends?
So you can take any kind of a brutal verbal attack. Yes. Oh, Kung Fu has nothing to do with it. So you mean to say if somebody abuse you verbally, you can just Kung Fu them? Okay. So, now, emotionally, a lot of teens are like that. Socially, one word, quickly. Tell me about your teen. How are they socially? Sorry?
Awkward.
Awkward. What do you mean by awkward? You have to explain that. Awkward. Do you feel awkward? No. Do you feel awkward? No.
I find that sometimes very get that when talking with their own friends, they are okay. But if you introduce them to a different background people or different age groups, they are unable to, let's say, socialize properly.
Okay.
It might be because they are too addicted to their digital games or
they are not sociable.
Not as sociable as you like.
Yeah. Okay. That's what you mean by awkward. All right. Anybody else? One word? Yes.
Kind.
Kind. You heard from the other side. Eh? Okay. What else? Socially, who are you?
There's lots of friends. The social network is, thousands of friends on the Facebook. Yeah, yeah. You never had that when you were a teenager. You only have maybe less than 100.
Is that true?
I think that social now is more digital.
Digital.
Face to face, not social.
Okay. So that means to say they
virtually.
Okay, they seek a lot of relationships. Whether it's digitally or whether it's face-to-face. They like friends. They are reaching out to their peers. Right?
But they don't want face-to-face interaction.
They don't want face-to-face interaction. They just like screen.
Virtual reality.
Okay, virtual. But they are just seeking relationship with someone. They're trying to connect with someone.
Yeah.
They are trying to reach out and say, I need you as a friend.
Yeah.
Right?
They don't even talk over
the phone.
Yeah.
So they are moving actually from talking to you, mom and dad, to their peers, whether they are in the screen or in whatever situation, right? Do you have friends from Facebook?
No. I don't even go on Facebook.
You don't go on Facebook. What do you go on?
Good for you. Very rare. I prefer to send people emails.
That's your friend. Not a social network.
You used to. I quit them all. I got bored of it.
Okay, so you grew out of it.
So what do you do?
So what do you do? You take Kung Fu. He likes to read. There, see? He's getting smart.
Yeah.
He's getting some intellectually. Okay, gaining ground. Okay, good. Thank you. How about spiritually? How are they like?
A childish
faith. Mm-hmm. Do you think their faith is strong?
No.
It can be more pure.
Pure.
Yeah.
What else? What is their faith like? Or a spiritual life like? Seeking for answers.
I would think that they are very self-centered.
Okay.
Unable to put themselves
they're still, but they believe in God, but they have not realized what actually is God.
Okay, where are you spiritually? Tell us.
First, I'm the definition of
spiritually. Spiritually, your relationship with God.
I think about that first.
Sure. Okay, I'll come back to you. Now, somebody wants to say something here? Okay.
It's kind of an exploration for kids at their age right now.
Okay. Seeking. Exploration.
Seeking is when they kind of. There's a desire to seek God.
Mm-hmm.
What exploration is, a lot of the kids have been brought up in church.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time where slowly they're going to come, some start early and some later.
Mm-hmm.
It's where they're going to now challenge and
mm-hmm.
say, do I really believe in that? Or are they going to, not only say abandon God, but I would say they want to see what is out there right now, starting
mm-hmm.
at that age.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And this is the age where they have challenges and they have conversion.
A lot of temptation.
Yes, a lot of temptations as well. Now, as a Christian educator, this is a very crucial age for us Christian parents to watch their spiritual journey. Because if you don't get them now, if they don't believe in God now, it would be harder. They probably will not. They would just drift away. Because they don't get your support in their exploration, in their seeking about who God is in relation to them. If you do not help them and guide them into the spiritual matters, they would just get lost. They are being challenged in their faith. And you need to come alongside them, walk with them in that challenge, and help them until they have an answer to what they are thinking. Correct? Yes. And I encourage you to ask questions. Do not be afraid to ask spiritual questions about your relationship with God to your parents, your teachers, your counselors, anybody in the church who knows God, or even the friend of your church. If you trust them and say, I want to know your God, what is your relationship with God? How real is he? If you have those questions in your mind, you need to seek the answer for it. Okay? This is a very crucial time for the team spiritually. And, okay, so in relationship to God, they would like to be challenged. If they become Christians, they would like to be challenged to live a Christ-centered life. They would take it. You would say, let's start preparing you to know God more. And that is also when, for myself, I made a decision to follow Christ when I was 12. And since then, I would challenge myself, and being challenged too, to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. And I would challenge myself to read the Bible over in 1 year, from Genesis to Revelation. And that's how much I can absorb. And how did I do that? I'll challenge you to that too. To read your Bible in 1 year, the whole Bible, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. So how would you do that? You would add up all the chapters in the Bible and divide it by 365 days. And then you would have a rough idea how many chapters you have to read per day. A challenge? Okay. All right. But that is just beside the point. But that's what kind of a challenge they can take at that time. So that is the, and they have this desire to serve as well. This is the time when you ask them to serve, they would gladly come and alongside and serve. To be part of the fellowship committee, to be part of anything
even the church AV team or whatever they are, or sports team, whatever they can do, they would come along and serve. Maybe just as you can help teach people Kung Fu. Right? You are taller than the moms and dads, so you can be a help there. Right? Okay, so at this point, they are intellectually smart and all-knowing. It's because, you know what? Their brains are growing. They're growing. Our brain has left side and the right side. Okay? So you know that different ways of the brain, left brain and the right brain. Our society is more, what? Right brain or left brain?
Left brain.
So what are the left brain more better in? The left brain deals with logic. Excuse me. What else? Reason?
Systematic.
Yes. More logic. More systematic.
Knowledge.
Yeah, these are all knowledge. Math. You're better than math. In math, you're getting better. Your reading is getting better. Okay. Writing. How about the right brain? What is the right brain good for?
Creative.
Yeah. Emotions. Here. What else?
Music.
Somebody said music before. So it's like rhythm. And so on. Now, the brain is growing, and therefore they are smarter, getting smart, and that's why they say they are. Oh, I know everything, because there are just so many new things that I'm absorbing here. Now I'm more than what I used to be, and then because of that, they can absorb, they can learn, and they can mature. And so they can get on to the next level of abstract thinking and all that. So it's something that is happening. Their brains are getting, and their heads are getting bigger. Their brains are getting more connections and all that. Okay? So that is how our brain works for the team right now. So now, let's go on to expectations. What are the expectations we have of your child? What do you expect, Justice? What are your expectations? What are their expectations? Their expectation is they like to have their parents still with them, but not all the time, and they want their parents to guide them and to walk with them, even though they say no, even though they do not want to talk to you. But underneath, that's what they expect you to continue to do so, but in a different way, in a different way. Probably not always hanging around, but in a different relationship. They probably like to know, why am I growing so fast? Why are you growing so fast? Did you ever wonder? Is that in your gene?
My parents told me that it's like two things. One is, I think it's DNA.
Doing DNA?
My mom is tall.
Yeah, okay.
The second reason is that
What you're eating. Okay. So you need your parents to come along and tell you why and all these changes. I remember I asked my parents, my dad, because actually I'm the shortest in the family. You're right. But all the others are quite tall. And I said, "Who are you? Where are you from? He said, "I'm from China." And I said, "Okay, I know I'm Chinese, but who are you? How come you guys are so tall? We are so tall, and I'm the only one who's not that tall." But anyway, he said, "That is in my DNA. We are all tall." So I have nephew 6'3", 6'4", just like you. Okay, nephews. They should be shorter, but they are so tall. Okay, it's in their DNA. They want to be somebody. Do you want to be somebody? Or do you want to be a nobody?
I saw this before, but...
You thought of this before? Okay. What has become of your thoughts? You haven't decided.
I like to swim.
Yes.
So... And one day I told myself that I wanted to be the new Michael Phelps.
Oh, he wants to be the new Michael Phelps. Okay. So he wants to be somebody. Okay. Now parents, your children wants to be somebody. They need your support in giving them that identity, that confidence. To be somebody. You have to help them find out what they can do, give them opportunities to explore and to be themselves so that they'll know if they're somebody. They expect us to do what? To give them some space to decide on things and not always come to say, "Mom, what do you think? Should I do this or should I not?" Actually, they won't come to you and ask you. You would always say, "How come you never ask me anymore? You just do as you like." And this is not really too comforting for parents, because parents starting to get nervous, starting to get anxious and worried. How come I'm not in that decision-making process anymore? But they still like you to come along and help them in making decisions, but not just so in that way. Probably in another way, when you would present some options for them, help them think through it, and then, okay, you decide what you want to do. And after they decide what to do, ask them, "Can you live with this?" Meaning to say, whatever happens, the consequences, can you handle it? And if they say yes, then you have to let them go handle them themselves if the consequences come back to bite them. Okay. However, doesn't mean to say you just sit there and say, "Ha ha ha, I told you so." No. No, you have to help them get out of it and learn how to cope with it, how to get out of that mess. Although you don't go and bail them out all the time, but it's just to give them options and they decide what they want to do. There was a story about a son who was just very, let's say, disrespectful in one way, and then in other way, just wants to go his own way and do things. And one time he took his father's car and let his girlfriend drive it, and they got into an accident. So what happened? The police got involved. They found drugs in the car, and so they were dragged into the into the police station, booked, and all that. Okay. All these choices they made was without consultation with the parents. Right? But do the parents go and bail them out? Or let them stay in jail? If you're the parent, what would you do?
Stay.
Right?
Let them stay.
You let them stay. How about you? You go bail them out? You bail them out. What would you do?
Logically, you let them stay, but emotionally, you would
go. Doesn't help, though. Okay. All right. The story went, the police went and took them to the station, talked to them, and then they cannot keep them overnight, but they called the parents and say, would you come and bail them out? The parents say, no. They get into that mess themselves. They have to get themselves out of it. So let them stay overnight. But then the police say, well, if that's what you want, we'll hold them up with all the criminals because there's no room for juvenile here. So the son's starting to get nervous. Come on, Dad, bail me out. Come on, take me home. But the father said, no, you can stay overnight. Maybe I'll think about it tomorrow. And the story went, and it's a real story. He was there overnight, and the parents came the next day to see if they can do something about it. Guess what happened? This guy, his attitudes was changed overnight. From disrespectful to a very respectful son. And understand that what he did has consequences. And his parents is not responsible to bail them out, but out of their love for him, they come anyway the next day. So when he saw his parents coming through the door, he was just so happy, he got up and run and hugged them. Can you imagine a big man like that hug their parents? Say, thank you for coming and get me. And that's how the love of the parents got through to him, knowing that they are unconditional and yet they want him to learn something. So it is a very touching story, and I'm glad you are with that parent. You would let them stay overnight just to teach them something else.
No, but she still will pay him out.
Just later.
Just later. So maybe you all can confer together and you will come up with a better answer. Okay. Now, the expectation of your adolescent child would be something like they want to be happy. Do you want to be happy? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But how? They are so moody. Sometimes they just go to the dumps on their own. Okay? So they expect to be happy. So we need to come alongside them and find out what's troubling them. And there are ways to be happy and ways of looking at things. It doesn't have to be that dark. Right? So you have to talk, on the other hand, you have to talk to your parents and say, how can I get out of this? I don't know why I just feel so lousy today. Or I feel like crying today for no reason at all. It happens to teenagers like you. And they want to be safe and secure. Security. They don't want to be left out there alone. Like that guy in the police station. It's just too scary. It's not safe when they are going to be locked up with the criminals, right? That is not safe and that's not secure. And so they want to be secure and they expect you to give them that security. However, if they don't listen, they would suffer the consequences. However, for a short time. Okay. And they expect to have lots of friends and be accepted. So that's why they get on Facebook and start connecting
with everybody that they know. Now, how about your expectations? What do you expect of your child? As a parent, what are your expectations? Tell me. Time to go. Okay. All right. Quickly, two expectations.
Learn how to make his own decision.
Learn how to be independent and make his own decision. Okay. What else? That's very good. Respect. Be respectful.
Be responsible.
Be responsible.
Mm-hmm. Be thankful.
Be thankful. Be appreciative. Mm-hmm. Are you taking notes? Be thankful. Be appreciative. Be respectful. And what did you say now?
I can't remember.
Learn
to make decisions. Okay. Those are what that parent expects of you. Okay. Good. Now, what is the expectation of God? I will quickly say, remember that He is our Creator. We are created in His own image. That's where our attributes of God comes in. Remember that? And your child is also created in His own image. You are not alone. You are both created in God's image. And whatever you are treating him, you always look behind him to see his creator. If you see his creator behind him, the way you treat him would be different. And the way you look at things would not be so dim or dark, because you know behind you is your creator too. You have the help that you need. And he has his creator behind him who will help him too. Your relationship with your child doesn't belong to you. He is only entrusted to your care by God. God put that child into your care. And what you are to do is to care and love and nurture that child according to what his creator wants him to be. Because at the end of the day, we are all accountable to our creator as to how we handle the child. Okay. Our responsibility is great because we are not responsible to ourselves or to our father or to our grandfather, we are responsible to our creator, which is also their creator. That is why I put on the attributes of God in there, because in you, you have the love and the mercy and the grace to do so. Secondly, remember that God has spread over us a canopy. What is this canopy like? It's for? It's for us to get under the canopy, to protect us. Protect us from what? It's to protect us from heat of the sun and to give us shade. It's also to give us a shelter when we are in a storm or when we have rain. There are a lot of storms in our lives. Run under the canopy that God has spread over you, and He will take care of it. You are not alone.
No.
Everybody else has the same problem. If you all get together, you can pray together and share together your problem. Okay? But very importantly, remember God, your creator behind you, has provided you with a shelter. If you don't run into it, it's your own fault. But you can run into it and take shelter from the storm of life, from the rain, and from anything
that you are experiencing right now. Okay? Now, also, number three, remember, he has also shown us something good. And this good is that we require, that he requires of us. He requires of us to act justly, to be just as he is just. Justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before him. So if we take that into our heart and walk with God, you would have your children walk with God as well. You cannot give what you don't have. If you want them to love God, you need to love God first. If you want them to follow God, you have to follow God first. Because that's who they model after. Right? So, get right with God yourself. That's what my admonition to you is today. To take care of your spiritual journey or spiritual life in your walk with God, walk with Him humbly. That you would be the best parent and enjoy your success in parenting your children, no matter how old they are. Thank you for being so attentive, and I enjoy your being here. Thank you.